You're listening to the Parkway Podcast.
I also believe that addressing the sin at large is not how you address the person that is struggling with that sin. For example, I'll just give you a personal example just to make sure my heart is clear to you. But I don't want certain things in our school systems because I don't believe that they're for children. But if someone who struggled with that specific thing walked into these doors, or I got to have a conversation outside in our world, and I got to personally talk to them, and I had that opportunity, well, hallelujah. Praise the Lord, because I know their creator. I happen to know the very one who created them, what he says about them, the fact that he calls them their child. And I know that if they knew the God that created them, they would not live the way that they were living. They would live like they knew what they were created for.
Hi, this episode is from our prayer and worship nights. We gather every Sunday night at 5 p.m. for a deeper and intense style service. Each Sunday night features a new worship team and a speaker from various ministries here at Parkway. The service ends with a time of intentional prayer as we respond to God's word, pray for our community, and pray for one another. If you missed a service, you can catch up on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Amazon Music, YouTube Podcasts, or online at parkwaycc.com/sermons.
As my wonderful wife gets ready to come up and speak, I've been able to hear what's on her heart and what she's going to be sharing. I just felt like it was important for us to realize what we're seeing, that there's really no waste when you're spending time with Jesus. There's literally no waste. And in a moment, he can speak. And in a moment, he can change the course of whatever we're currently opposing. And I just felt like tonight, as before we officially transition, would you mind just leading us in that again? And let's just sing it as a choir. Lift up a hand, be able to just pray in some sort of heavenly language that you have, or maybe pray with your natural tongue. But I just felt like tonight was supposed to be, in order for us to receive what you have for us in the Word, Father, we've got to be able to declare this amongst each other, amongst it as a congregation. So Father, as we get ready to lead into this, Father, we just lift you up. We lift you up in Jesus' name. God, we lay it all down.
There's no waste at the altar. There's no waste at the altar. There's no waste at the altar. There's no waste. There's no waste. There's no waste at the altar. There's no waste at the altar. There's no waste at the altar. There's no waste. There's no waste.
There's not a wasted moment in His presence. Lord, as we get ready to take the next step in the next portion of our service tonight, would you just continue to allow that to resonate inside our spirit? That, Father, it's oftentimes very easy, even as the diehards that are in this room that come on Sunday nights, Father, for us to go find a place where we can be in your presence first. Oftentimes we go to a lot of other things. And, Father, to be reminded that there's nothing like your presence. There's not a wasted moment. There's not a wasted prayer. God, whatever is opposing us, we can come to you, and we can be able to declare that, Father, we declare victory. And so, Father, as we get ready to transition and get ready to hear what your word says, Father, would you just allow that to resonate inside our spirits, so that, God, as we even get ready to have a time of reflection at the end of our service tonight, Father, there's not a wasted moment in your presence. So, Father, we thank you. We thank you for it. In Jesus' name, and everyone said, amen. Yes, and be seated. Thank you, Bella and the team. For those of you that don't know, I am not the preacher in my family. That is my wife. And so I want you to know, if you feel like I've ever been passionate, just get ready to hear my wife speak. No, I'm so incredibly proud of my wife. She's a wonderful woman of God who honestly has so many hats that I don't even know how she juggles it all, but I want you to know that she also does have this wonderful gift of being able to communicate, and I want you guys to know that you guys are going to be blessed by the time. But hopefully it's not her speaking. I've already been able to hear that what the Lord's placed on our heart, and so I just want you guys to come ready, prepared, take some notes, because there's some wonderful nuggets in there that the Lord wants you to grasp tonight. So if you need me, do your favor, and let's welcome our wife as you get to.
Thank you. I'm not the preacher in the family, that wasn't true. But I am always honored when I get to share about the Lord to any capacity. I prefer to use my voice more of the worship side, but always an honor to get to talk about the Lord. I have to admit, it is sometimes awkward with my mentor sitting right here to the left. Mainly because I'm sure half of what I'm going to share I learned from them, so they probably know all of this. But I'm actually just going to start out by talking about a conversation that I had with my mom recently. I know some of you kind of have heard my story in pieces, I'm sure. And so if you don't know, my mom is actually an addict. And she has been since I was about 16. She left our home. She had relapsed when I was about 15, after being clean for about 5 years or so, and she's just kind of ran in that addiction since then. But every once in a while, years will go by, we won't talk, and then she gets a phone somehow, and she'll call me, and then months will go by, and we won't talk, and then, so it's kind of just been that way since I was 16. But we're in one of those rotations to where she got a phone, and she'll call me. And we have a lot of things kind of happening and moving in my side of the family right now. And so she's been calling me and asking me a bunch of questions and reaching out. And one of the wonderful things that are actually happening right now in my family is my aunt, who has relapsed for about as long as my mom, had went to rehab. And she's got like 160 days clean, which is amazing. Yeah, thank you, Lord. And because it's been a long time, and so it's really exciting. I'm so happy for her. And my mom has called, and I just was telling her, you know, I don't know much about the program that she did, but I was telling my mom, you know, you gotta try this out, Mom, because, you know, she keeps saying, you know, I'm not gonna be here much longer. And it's like, yes, you are, and why don't you try out that rehab that my aunt went to? And she goes, well, I might, but I can't because I have a dog, and I love my dog. And if I go, then no one will take care of my dog. And so I'm like, okay, if it's the dog, like, I'll take care of your dog. I'll come down and get your dog, and we'll make sure he's taken care of and he's safe, and that's fine. Like, we could take care of that. And she's like, okay, but before I do that, I got to come down and see your house. I'm like, okay, we can work that out. You can come down and see where I live. She's like, I have to meet my grandchildren. I'm like, fine, as long as you're clean, you can come and meet your grandchildren. And then I said, and how about I want you to come down on a Sunday, because I want you to meet my church family. I want you to see the church that I go to. And it gets really quiet. She goes, I don't think that's a good idea. And I was like, well, why not? She goes, I think I need to go to rehab first, and then I'll come to your church. And I was like, well, Mom, I was like, you might find that you step in those doors, and you may not even need a rehab. You just, if you give it a chance, and And I was so confident in that, and she goes, no, I really think before I do that, I gotta go get clean. I just gotta get better before I come there. I gotta be better before I walk through those doors. And my heart broke for her in that moment. And because I know my church and I know the God that we serve, I was like, that's the problem, you know? And anyways, I share that because that's the conversation I wanted to have tonight with you guys. It's been on my heart since the beginning of this year. I've thought about it multiple times. Our family has actually talked about it in our living room. And Pastor Dave even, you know, brought this up. We've heard that this will be the year, 2025 will be the year that there's just a huge outpouring of God's Spirit, and people are going to come to know the Lord. Pastor Jay said the greatest soul winning your Parkway has ever seen might just be 2025. Amen. It might just be this year. And so I wanted to ask you, just like after I got off the phone with my mom, and I was telling my husband, it's like, are we ready for that? And I'm not asking because I don't think we're ready. I'm just posing the question because that's the thought that I had about myself. I'm asking because I want to make sure that we as a church, that we're ready for that. That if this is going to be the biggest soul-winning year that Parkway has ever experienced, are we ready? Are we ready for what that looks like? Are we ready for the lost to walk through those doors? Now, it's said at large that the church isn't a place where people want to come when they are struggling, when they're in deep despair, when they're an addict like my mom. They feel like they can't come yet. They need to go be clean first. They need to figure something out before they walk through the doors, which is crazy because this is exactly where people need to come when they're trapped in bondage. It's exactly where they need to come when they need to be made whole. It's exactly where they need to become when they need to be discipled to a place where God can come and reveal their sin and call them to a place of repentance. And that's what God has called us to do. And in Luke chapter 5, the Lord is questioned from the Pharisees and the scribes, and they complained about why he was eating and drinking with tax collectors and the sinners. And in verse 31, Jesus said, It is not those that are healthy who need a doctor, but those who are sick. And in 32, he says, I have not come to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. This is exactly where they should be going. And I believe that they are going to come. I truly believe, and am standing on that word over our church, that this will be the year, the biggest soul winning year that we will see. And we will watch the lost walk through our doors. And I also believe that we'll be a church that welcomes them. A church that welcomes sinners. I believe that. A church that welcomes sinners offers them God's forgiveness. I don't find it coincidental, and I don't know where he's at right now, but that Keith spoke about forgiveness, and then Robin came and spoke about love, because this has been brewing in my heart for months. Forgiveness brings a true love. And with forgiveness comes the love that's strong enough to cause real revelation and real repentance. Welcoming sinners allows that process to take place through the Holy Spirit. It's a process to repentance that only happens by the drawing of the Holy Spirit, which we as a church body makes place for when we welcome sinners. And can I be honest about something? This is more of an opinion, but if we as Christians, if we in this room who call God our Savior, and we know his ability to forgive and his grace upon grace, if we cringe or get sick to our stomach when we see someone who is struggling in sin that we've overcome, or that we feel is more grotesque than whatever it is that we struggle with, or maybe it's something that you've already overcame in your past, that you have a hard time looking at that sinner, then I would ask God to check we need to check our heart.
That's right.
You can't help a person with a sin that you're disgusted by. And you can't help a person with a sin that you're angry about. And you can't disciple a person you don't have a relationship with. And I just want to remind you that it's extremely difficult to walk in true relationship with someone if you cannot love them because of the sin that they walk in. Because you can't view them the way that God views them. And they view them as his child. You can only see the sin that they are trapped in. And I will tell you, after having children, I could never imagine looking at my child. Not in a million years. I just can't even fathom it. That I could look at my child and be disgusted by something that they were doing. I want to call them to right, I want to figure out how to walk them on that journey to correct whatever it is that they might be doing, but disgusted, never. I could never. And I want to remind you something. God is not surprised by any of this. He's not surprised by where we're at as a country, by where we're at as a nation, by where sin has gone and how far it's gone. He's not surprised by any of it. To us, things are progressing. Things are getting more dark. And this world keeps getting worse and worse. And of course, I have opinions about it all. I can tend to be rather opinionated. And of course, I believe there's a time to stand up for it. And of course, I believe that there's a time to use our voice. And my own personal opinion is I do believe that we should be involved in all the things, politics, in your school boards. We should have opinions that are rooted in the Word of God about strong things like abortions and transgender and LGBTQ. I believe, yes, Christians need to be involved. They need to know what's going on. They got to pray and ask God to reveal things to them. All of it. But I also believe that addressing the sin at large is not how you address the person that is struggling with that sin.
Hallelujah.
For example, I'll just give you a personal example just to make sure my heart is clear to you. But I don't want certain things in our school systems because I don't believe that they're for children. That's something that I would stand firmly on. But if someone who struggled with that specific thing walked into these doors, or I got to have a conversation outside in our world, and I got to personally talk to them, and I had that opportunity, well, hallelujah. Praise the Lord, because I know their Creator. I happen to know the very one who created them, what He says about them, the fact that He calls them their child. And I know that if they knew the God that created them, they would not live the way that they were living. They just wouldn't. They would live like they knew what they were created for. It's kind of like the woman at the well. This does happen to be one of my favorite stories. And if you've heard me talk, I just love it. I want to talk to her someday. But you know, one of the commandments in the Bible is not to commit adultery. It's in the Word. We could all agree that that's a standard that we should live by. But when Jesus met her at the well, He knew that if she could have a drink of His living water, that what she was longing for, she would never long for again. And He was so confident about it. And He actually tells her what her sin is. He brings it right to her, and it wasn't in a condescending way, and it wasn't in a way to point out how ugly and gross and all those things. He didn't do that. He just brought it up, almost like this was a normal conversation. Like, hey, I know about this. But then He was like, but I have something to offer you. And what He had to offer, she, in a moment, knew, I'll never thirst again. She experienced freedom from the very thing that others wouldn't even look at her about. It always makes me think, how many people walked by her and immediately went, ew, I know what sin you do. I know how many times you've engaged in that. What husband are you on? How many people have that dialogue or that thought or that conversation and never even stopped to think that there is a freedom that God designed her for? When He created her, that He had a purpose on her life. And it was never to walk that road, but that He had something for her that would cause her to walk into a freedom where she would never thirst again. Which brings me to my next thing. A church that welcomes sinners confesses sin. One of my favorite things about our church, and it will always be one of my favorite things, is that we always leave space for the altar. We always leave an opportunity for someone to receive salvation. There's always a chance to lay your sin down, even tonight as we're singing that, and Bella, you guys did a beautiful job, but even singing that song, if we just have an opportunity, if you gotta lay something down, you will have an opportunity to do it at Parkway, and I love that. Welcoming sinners doesn't mean that we justify or condone sin. That's not what I'm saying, and I hope you hear my heart in that tonight. It just means that our actions and the way that we love those that walk into our church or we see out in our community with obvious chains are not controlled by the sin that we see. In other words, our actions on how we treat people has no place with what it is that they're currently struggling with. It's recognizing that we are welcoming them because we too are sinners. Romans 23:3 says, "For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God." But God welcomed us, every single one of us. And do you remember where he found you? Because sometimes I'm still in awe when I think about where God found me. And there's honestly days where I'm like, I cannot believe that this is my life. Like, it just, truly over the moon. I was so lost. I was so broken. Can't even tell you where I was headed because I have no clue. I did whatever I wanted, whenever I wanted. And God was not in it was not my forethought. But God called me, and he called me, it was undenying. I knew that I knew that I knew, and he put people in my life, like the Smoes, to walk with me as I went through the long process of dying to myself and overcoming sin. And I'll be brief about this because I don't want to get too far into it, but I truly believe that I had a Saul to Paul moment. Like, it was that real for me. I knew in a moment when God had saved me that he was calling me, and that this was real. That what I had been searching for, and it was even the way he did it. He said, if you surrender and you follow me, I will take care of you. And I didn't know until years later that I really just wanted to be taken care of. And I just didn't have that. But that's the way he said, if you do this, I got you. I'm going to take care of you. But that didn't mean that all of a sudden every aspect of my life was now changed. There are people here that can attest to that. Not that I want them to, but I'm sure that they have some stories. But one of the things that I wanted to highlight is that he did put people in my place that weren't afraid of my sin.
Hallelujah.
And they weren't ashamed of my sin.
Hallelujah.
And they weren't bothered by the fact that even though now I had given my heart to the Lord, that I definitely did not have most things together. And it wasn't until I started to get into my word and I started to lean on God that he started to work in me and that I began to see things in a different light. And I want to make this clear. There were plenty of things that I didn't agree with when I first had gotten saved. It was so different. It was very different from what my natural life was like. I didn't have a lot of experience with, spiritual things either. So it was very different. And there was a lot of what I thought were rules at the start of becoming a Christian. I thought it was a lot of rules and, I'm trying to follow all these things. It was extremely weird for me to understand at first because it was so different from what I was used to. But what I realized is that it was just because I lacked understanding of who God was and what he had desired for me and the way that he designed things to be. Because he had a purpose. There were natural things that were so abnormal in my life that until I started to search God on my own, that I didn't realize that he had a different design. And thank God that he had put people in my life and by them loving me correctly, despite my sin, and gave me plenty of room for forgiveness, gave me plenty of room to chase after God. And it was only by his love and his drawing and his Holy Spirit that I was able to learn those things and lay them down. And it didn't happen overnight, but God welcomed me as I was. He loved me right in that moment, whether I knew how to live for him or what I didn't know. He He welcomed me right away. God says as far as the east is from the west. That's how far. He said that all who are weary can come and experience rest. And that always amazes me, all who are weary. All who are weary that he promises rest to. We live in a world where people are so weary. They're so weary. And that's a promise that God says. You see it when you walk at the grocery store and you're outside. People are weary. But we know the God that gives rest, that brings them rest. So honestly, this has been my prayer for our church. I've been praying that they would come. I want them all. I want the addicts and the broken, the homeless, those that struggle with same-sex attraction and identity issues, marriages on the verge of divorce, the depressed. I hope they sit right next to us in our new seats when we're back into the main sanctuary. Because I believe that this is a church that will welcome them. Because it's what God did for us. And I know that when they walk through those doors, I know exactly what's going to happen. Because we're going to be prepared. We're going to ask God, what do we need to do to get ready for this? What do we need to do to be for those people what they need when they come? What can we do? There's a different atmosphere that comes into a room when there's a congregation of people who start to experience freedom. Addicts finding deliverance, broken being made whole, marriages being restored. I told my husband, I see just prodigals like coming home and God fully restoring mental health and those that struggle with their identity, completely dismantling the spirit of confusion that's come upon them. Could you imagine being in that room when eyes become clear and all of a sudden God's spirit begins to draw them and we're all we did was say, yes, please come. Come and honoring God with just what he's called us to do. Can you imagine being in that room where chains start to fall? Because I can see it coming. I can see it so clearly. And that doesn't even begin to explain what happens to every other person in the room. Everyone else sitting in the congregation who's been coming and preparing and just fighting and warring for God to bring those people. Do you know what that will do to the rest of us? Do you know what that will do for our kids, for our children? Do you know what that will do for those that maybe have been so hungry and so thirsty, but they felt like they haven't just been able to press in? I can see right now, those that haven't been to an altar in a while just can't seem to but make way. They just race down there. And people who don't lift their hands, they can't help but praise the Lord. Our youth group wanting to know God on a deeper level because they've just never seen that sort of freedom before. I believe that's what happens when we welcome sinners. And so that's the question that I just keep asking. Right? Are we ready for that? What do we need to do to get ready? What are the next steps that we as a body and a congregation need to take so that we are fully prepared when we start to have those things come to us? Because I believe they're coming. Because if they're in the world, they will make their way in here, as they should. Because we know the God that can set them free. And so I don't actually have the answer for every person in this room. Or every individual sitting here. It could be that we need to start with forgiveness like Keith talked about. It could be that we need to learn to love the way Jesus does like Robin talked about. There's so many things that we could do to try to figure out how we can do this as a church. But for all of us, and Bella, if you wanted to come up, I do think that it would be a good conversation to start having. It's just a thought. Are you ready if this is the greatest soul winning year Parkway's ever seen? Are we prepared? Can we love people the way God loves people? Does my mind even begin to understand that The way I handle sin at large isn't the way that I handle an individual who's struggling. And that's where my heart's been these last few months. And that in preparing for all the things that are coming in the natural, we're getting our lobby remodeled, we're rallying together in the whole center to push the church forward and just to get behind what's taking place here at Parkway. Those are natural ways that we just are, we're all in. We're showing up on Sunday nights. We're prepping for the greatest Easter egg hunt ever. Like, we can go on and on. There's so many things that we're doing to prepare. And I just thought, what do we need to do to get ready for all the people that are coming? I'm talking the hurt ones. God, I know there's people right now in Grants Pass, Oregon, Father, that they need you. I know that. The weary that we see. And we have the answer in this room. We know the God that can change. We know the God that can break chains. And I've got to have so many conversations with so many of you who have been waiting for this move of God to come. And so I just wanted to spend a few minutes together as a church body, and just that's my heart tonight. God, what do we need to do? How can we prepare for this? How can we honor you in what you're going to bring? Because I see it coming. So I'm gonna pray, and I just ask Bella if she'll sing a little bit more of a song. And would you do that tonight? Would you just reflect with me? Would you just reflect and ask God what He would ask of you? What do we need to lay down? What do we need to do to walk in this promise that God has given our church? The greatest soul-winning year that Parkway has ever seen. So, Father, I just thank you, Lord. I thank you for the way you've welcomed me, Lord. Father, I thank you for your presence. I thank you for your grace. Father, and that we just come before you, Lord. I do believe that we are going to be able to reach this community, God, but would you just reveal to us right now, what is it that we need to do? What is it that we need to bring? God, how can we love people the way that you designed for us to love? And Lord, we just honor you in this moment. Father, would you have your way? Would your spirit come? And we thank you, Jesus.
Where the tears of the desperate reach the feet of the Savior, nothing I wouldn't offer. There's no waste at the altar. Stop. Christ at the altar with the heart of surrender. It's the hands of the makers. Nothing I wouldn't offer. There's no place at the altar.
You guys have seen this a couple more times, but as Leanna was ministering tonight, I want to be very clear with what the Lord told me. He didn't tell me that this might be the greatest soul winning year the park was ever seen. The Lord said it's going to be the greatest soul winning year the park was ever seen.
Amen.
And I understand, just so you know, the diving board I'm stepping off of right now. I understand the grandiose claim that that is, and I'm okay if I'm a fool and it doesn't happen, but I know what the Lord told me. I was standing in the front row today, nervous as can be, a lot of moving parts for church, and on that legacy card that we have people write on, my wife and I wrote the name of a family, and pretty uppity-up family in the community. Genuinely nice people. I'm talking some of the greatest non-believer, non-Christians you'll ever meet. Just solid people. I don't even want to go into their details or who they are. Just solid people. We fell in love with this family probably a couple years ago, and I've just been slowly just loving on them. And I don't know about you, but as a Christian, you can get discouraged by when you invite somebody and you hear no so many times that it's actually shocking when someone says yes. So yesterday, Friday night, Jace had his birthday party. He had made turn 13, and Jace invited their son to the birthday, and I picked him up here at the church, and he saw the activity of the pews, and so I mustered up the strength, and I said, hey, I would love to have you when we do our wee grand opening. I think it'll be really cool. And tears started forming in his eyes, and he said, I'm going to talk to my wife about that. And I'm sitting, I don't know why I got so emotional today, but I'm sitting in the front row, and I turn around like 2 minutes before church, and here the couple is walking down the aisle. And my eyes begin to puddle, and I gave them a big old hug, and I said, you guys don't even know what it means for you guys that you guys are here. And the wife looked at me and said, you know, I battle with anxiety a lot. Crowds give me issues. Actually, everything in life gives me issues. And she says, for the last 3 months since we've been getting to know you guys better, at 3 o'clock in the morning when I can't sleep or I'm very anxious, I turn on the YouTube, your guys' YouTube channel, and I listen to your wife's sing worship and I listen to you preach. And she says, we really don't know what's going on here, but there's something drawing us to what God's doing in your guys' church. And I don't know. I don't know if those seeds are going to hit good soil. You know what I'm saying? Like, I don't know. I just know that there's an open heaven and an open door, that if we will go get them, God will bring them. God will bring them. Met a couple that their second week at church was today, moving down from Roseburg, and that word of knowledge that came at the end of the service that might seem very minute to some, she came up to me, she said, I was raised in church. Ashley was moving down here to try to find a house, and a member of your guys' congregation just invited me to church, and I felt like I was supposed to be here. And she raised her hand for salvation this morning. I guess I'll just talk to what you're saying, Leanna, is I think that there's an open window of an open heaven here. And we're always going to give space and place to preach the gospel and give altar calls and moments. But I do feel like when we get back into the building, that grand opening month or 8 weeks, as you were talking, I felt the Lord give us a plan that when we come back in the sanctuary, that we're just gonna give a microphone to random people in the church. When I say random people, just random people that I pick, like Leanna, and stories. And I feel like we're just gonna give testimonies and altar calls. And we're gonna invite the community, like we're lost people coming to our church. And we're just going to share our personal testimonies and stories. And I believe what God is setting up this fall is going to be the greatest soul winning year this church has ever seen. And I think if we start inviting them now, you might be surprised who shows up on Sunday. And I think some people genuinely are just waiting for a personal invite. Like this couple that was there today, and I got so weepy over it. Like the burden that God's been placing on my heart for those families that are out in the community. I get it. We got to have our eyes on the found. It's our job as shepherds to make sure that not just our eyes are only after the one. We got to have eyes on the 99 too. But there's something about galvanizing the 99 for the one. And so I don't know. I don't know. But I feel like how we're supposed to close is, Bella, you're going to sing a song one more time. And I just wanted our hearts, man, just to be open to the Lord speaking about specific people in our lives that we're going to be getting invited, not next week or 2 months from now, but like tonight, tomorrow. And preparing the way for someone, just like someone prepared the way for us, you know? So why don't you sing it? And then I'm going to have my brother Steve come up, and he's going to close us in prayer, because he's got God's place on his heart. But would you just lead us in one final moment? By the way, you got an anointing girl. It's like this soft, sweet kind of get in people's private space, and it's beautiful. And when you sing the song, don't sing it to us, sing it to him. And that anointing will grow even thicker.
Services is that, do you remember where he found you? Do you remember the moment when he found you? Man, I'm full of emotion because I'm seeing my daughter-in-law speak and watching what God's done in her life. I'm holding my grandbaby over there. The blessings of the Lord maketh one rich, and he has no sorrow. We're at a point, I remember these moments, where we have to be obedient to whatever he puts his finger on in our life. We're ready to give up. Because the fields are ripe with harvest. And that you have a place, each of us have a place. And no one can take your place. I remember this. I remember competing for places in my life. And I remember if I didn't compete right, someone was going to take my place. No one's taking your place. He's got a place for you, and it's right beside him, and you just need to take it. Because the body is fitly framed together. Each one of us have a part in this. And that when the lost come in, they need us to be able to be in unity and in one mind and in one spirit. With speaking grace, like your pastor talked about, with truth. Having love and compassion for those people. Because I remember where he found me. I remember when I was running and he was calling me. And the Bible says, while we were yet sinners, he still died for me. He's still there for me. He's still there for you. His hand's not too short that he cannot reach. He can reach him. So all we got to do is we got to bring them and say, God, here they are. I'm telling you, he's going to meet them at the point of their need. And I remember it's moments like this, just to be still. Just to be still in this moment. And if you want to, you can stay here a little longer. I'm not saying you're going to. Your pastor will direct you. But I'm just telling you, be still because he will meet you at a moment like this and do more than he's ever done in a lifetime when you're just being still and listening to him. And so I just want to pray over this, and then whatever the Lord does, that he does, but we can, this is a moment. This is a marked moment that we can say we were here and God can get to speak and do something each other once. And all it takes is just obedience. The gospel is simple. It's just surrendering to him. So Lord God, I ask, Lord, that these seeds that were planted today, God, that you begin to protect them, Lord. You begin to just cultivate them in our life, Lord God. I pray that I'm just obedient to what you have for in this moment, Lord. God, we give this to you. God, we thank you for loving us just as we are. But, Lord, we want to grow us into what you have for us in our community, in our church here, Lord, today. God, we thank you. God, and we just praise you, God, for you're a mighty God, and you are a great God. And you are a loving God, Lord. God, and we just want to give it to you, Lord. So why don't you say amen.
At the altar, and every victory
I know you don't really know what you're supposed to do, but just keep saying. As a worship leader, you're going to learn that the minstrel provides an atmosphere and environment where the presence of God can rest. And so we're going to help Miss Bella along there, okay? I don't know if you're feeling like you should play this song more, or maybe go to a different song that the Lord's placed on your heart. By the way, if you feel like you need to be dismissed, you guys can be dismissed. But just ask you to do it respectfully, not to disrupt the presence of the Lord. But I felt like we were supposed to come alongside that gift that you have, that you've really brought to this place. And I just want you to sort of sing like you normally sing in your bedroom alone when you're worshiping the Lord, because I know you do that. You don't do what you're doing tonight without doing that. So whatever the Lord places on your heart right now, we're going to follow your lead, though, okay?
Slip back and wash it.
pretty.
So just like I taught Miss Bella here for a minute, just to roll with it, for someone here who's got, as I call it, the closing word, God's been impressing something on your heart. Is it Benji? All right, sounds good. You know what I add to it? I love when the anointing hits people. Some people get emotional and jittery. That's what my brother-in-law Ben gets. But I love the fact that God, when the anointing hits flesh, he does different things to different people just to keep us on our toes. But Ben, you're a man of God. Thank you guys for following the dream and the call up here. So the closing word, right? What's the closing word?
I'm the adopted son. That Greek cord is not easily broken. So these are the two brothers. Biological, and I'm the one that got adopted. Anyways. Oh, man. I just feel the Lord. I feel what he wants to do. I just feel his love. I feel what he wants to pour it out. Guys, you remember like Steve said a minute ago, how he touched you. He wants to touch people the same way. I'm sorry this is coming out like this. I'm doing it right now while I'm speaking. So, the Lord said to me, make ready, make room. Make room, make ready, just like someone's coming over to your house. I know that's physical, sometimes things are physical, but as you make room and you make ready, like we're doing these preparations with the church and whatever things are going on, make ready. And there's things in my garage that don't need to be there. I know I'm just speaking to just get it out of there. Make room. That's the word. Make room, make ready, get things going. People are coming. That's it.
Well, whatever it is. Help me clear the clutter, so that you can have all of me. So just like someone made room and prepared when my family got there, then we can prepare when another family gets there. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.